that the Apostle Paul wrote seven letters or seven epistles to seven Gentile assemblies. And of course, John the Apostle also wrote seven letters to seven Gentile assemblies. But we shall not consider that with you at this time. I want to read in the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 2, and we shall read at verse 11, where we see a display of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, that's emphasized in the verses that just precede where we are about to begin. However, His grace and His love is expressed in the most marvelous way as revealed in this epistle. And these were the subjects. Namely, verse 11, he says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." Further, picture is darker and darker. "That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Now the apostle, in the chapter that follows, that is to say, in chapter 3, he tells us how this great transformation takes place. In other words, how a people who actually were not a people, as Peter puts it, you remember, in his epistle, but now have become the people or the children of God. And so the Apostle Paul, in the third chapter of this epistle to the Ephesians, maybe I should point out to you that in all likelihood, this is the high water mark of divine revelation. Perhaps the highest truth that we find in the Word of God is reached in the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. The first three chapters are doctrine, and the last three chapters duty, our responsibility, that is to say, those upon which such love and such grace has been lavished. No, we cannot but think, if we have been reached and saved by the grace of God, what small returns we have rendered to our Lord Jesus Christ. There is something now I want to stress, though, for a moment before we go on into chapter 3. And I think it's something that is almost entirely lost sight of us. It has become practically extinct. You know, it's a rare thing to meet a man, a woman, a boy or a girl who has reached the place in his or her life's experience where they have made the discovery, or where it has been discovered to them by the Word of God, that they have no resources in themselves with which to meet God. As a matter of fact, they have not a single solitary thing to bring to Him or to offer to Him. And I read you in that second chapter, and beginning at verse 11, of course he was writing to this Gentile assembly to whom the grace of God had been brought. They had received that grace. They had been reached and saved by the power of that glorious gospel that had been brought to them. But now he's showing them a portrait of their past. And you know, it's good sometimes to remind ourselves, that is to say, if we have been saved, of what we were and where we were when the grace of God reached down and picked us up and put us into the very highest. And I like to think of that as it's found in this chapter. However, he says of them, "Ye were without Christ, and aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world." I wonder if my hearers have bowed to that solemn truth. Has there ever been a time in your life when you have faced up to the fact that you are, as you stand in nature, as you're depicted in the second chapter of Ephesians, without hope and without God in this world? I tell you, we're living in the most perilous times in human history. And things are not getting better, but they are fast getting worse. We can see upheavals in every direction. Men's hearts are failing them because of fear of those things that are coming to pass. And great events are in the making. Of course, This does not come as a surprise to Christians, to those who know the Bible, those who are acquainted with God's precious word. We know that God has a program, and that program is going to be carried out to the very letter. This poor old world, says John the Apostle, is a passing show. It's going to pass away, and all that is in it. And let me tell you, unless you have a link with our Lord Jesus Christ, right today, right this moment, whoever you are, wherever you are without hope, without a ray of hope. And I don't know a word that's more solemn. I don't know a word that could send greater shock or terror to one's heart or soul than that word, no hope. Here, for instance, is a man or a person, somebody that we're interested in, who has taken to his bed and is soon discovered that the malady is a very serious one. A physician is called, and maybe the best possible physicians, they're baffled. And then finally they say, there simply is no hope. Oh, what a sinking feeling, those words. Well, let me tell you, that's exactly how you stand heavenward and Godward if you never have been reached and saved by the grace of God. At this very second, you are without hope. In other words, if our Lord Jesus Christ were to come, or if you were to be cut off in your sins as you are, your case would be a hopeless one. Your doom would be sealed and sealed for all eternity. But you know, I wouldn't want to be on the air tonight. I wouldn't want you to give me your time. I wouldn't want you to spend precious moments listening to what we have to say, to what the Word of God has to say, if we did not have a message to bring to you, a message of salvation, a message of assurance, a message of deliverance, a message that would bring to you, if taken in, the forgiveness of sins, everlasting life, and would set you on your way to heaven. Yes, and you'd be just as sure of going to heaven as though you were already there. Now, in this third chapter, where the Apostle Paul goes on to tell us more about his love and his grace in performing the miracle of reaching and saving men and women, of saving souls, and yes, he would like to save you, and he tells us how it is all brought about. Now, if you listen just for a moment, I should like to read it. He says, if you have heard that the Ephesians 3 and verse 2, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which has given me to your word. And friends, this is the greatest of all dispensations ever. The dispensation of the grace of God. No favoritism shown to anyone. You know, the law of God, the Ten Commandments, the moral law, condemned the very best of men, but grace reaches and saves the very worst of men. And the grace of God is abundant, and that grace would reach even you at this very moment if you opened the heart's door and bid the Savior enter in. Now, we have been stressing and seeing Paul writing them. Now he says, call to remembrance that you were without hope, you had no promise, no Christ, no God. And over in chapter 3, he says, as he proceeds to tell us more about that grace, he says, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise, his promise in Christ by the gospel. Oh, what a word of cheer that is. I tell you, I thank God from the deepest depths of my heart that I am permitted to hold this precious book, this precious volume, the Word of God in my hand. And I thank God that I live in the land of the brave and the free, where we are protected and able to declare in faithfulness the whole counsel of God, and to warn men and women of the danger of refusing Christ, of refusing salvation, and at the same time, in faithfulness to God, in faithfulness to His Word, and in faithfulness to you, to tell you how you could be saved with an everlasting salvation. Then you'd be able to say, well, thank God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ has come even unto me. And though by nature I had no promise without the promise now is made known, this promise, and I may be a partaker of that promise in Christ by the gospel. And friends, we're glad to tell you that the gospel contains the good news, a declaration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, his burial, his glorious resurrection, that salvation, free, full, and eternal, might be yours. Thank you, friends, for listening in. You know, the Word of God says, hear, and your soul shall live. Now, should any of you be interested in what you have heard today or any of the past messages, and you desire further spiritual assistance, we're sure that we can be of help to you. We'll send you some valuable literature or correspond with you. This address will reach us, Good News Hour, in care of the station to which you are listening, or Good News Hour, 419 Smith Street, Atchison, Kansas.